out to Orban. Another stop by Hewitt. Unbelievable save by Matt Hewitt. He just keeps making highlight reel stops.
Hey, everybody. We're back. It's Jacob, Eric, Jake, and Liz here coming at you guys from UBC's Point Grey campus, broadcasting from the unceded and ancestral grounds of the Musqueam people. You're listening to CITR 101.9 with this week's edition of Thunderbird Eye, always keeping you up to date on the latest UBC sports news, standings, and stories. This past weekend, the Thunderbirds could not stop winning. On Friday and Saturday, all official Thunderbirds sports on schedule won every game they played. That's four hockey games, four basketball games, three women's rugby sevens tournament matchups, one men's field hockey game, and a men's rugby match. 13 games in 2 days. Not too shabby, UBC. And Friday night, as well, was the Hockey Winter Classic, where 5,500 fans packed the stands and set a new crowd record for a men's hockey game at Doug Mitchell Sports Center. The luck didn't go all the way through the weekend, as on Sunday, women's rugby did drop their three matches, but overall, a very winning weekend for the Thunderbirds.
Yeah, great weekend for UBC sports, starting off with the basketball. The women's side continued their strong start to the new year, taking both games against the McEwen Griffins, stretching their winning streak to four games in January. The first match on Friday was a 64-39 UBC victory in a game that was even less close than that final score might indicate. And it was the Thunderbirds' defense that was a story. They held the Griffin to just 5 points in the first, 11 points in the second, and just 6 points in the third. Incredible defensive performance. Madison Penn scored 21 points on 8 of 12 shooting to go along with 7 rebounds, while Keelan Filowich added 11 points and 8 rebounds. And given that this game was a blowout from the first quarter on, some different players got a chance to shine and have a bit of extended run in this one. Dana Pierce and Dina Strujic both scored their season highs in this game. Pierce put up 8 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists, while Strujic recorded 6 points and 4 rebounds. And though this was a blowout, the Thunderbirds didn't actually shoot incredibly well. Only 39% from the field, but that said, they held McEwen to just 24% shooting and out-rebounded the Griffins 56-40, including 22 offensive rebounds. And while the game on Saturday was tougher, Thunderbirds managed to grind out the win 58-52 in the end. This was a rough game offensively for both sides. Neither team reached the 20-point mark in any of the four quarters, and the Thunderbirds entered the fourth down 3 before outscoring the Griffins 18-9 in the final frame. Penn was the only Thunderbird who scored in double figures with 15 points and 10 rebounds. Filowich put up 9 points and 7 rebounds, and Dana Pierce recorded a season high for the second game in a row, scoring 9 points, 6 of them in the fourth, including a big go-ahead 3 with just 2.5 minutes left. Gave the Thunderbirds a lead, which they didn't relinquish. It was only her second three-pointer of the season, and again, it was a strong defense that propelled the Thunderbirds to the win. McEwen did shoot well in the first half, but UBC forced 21 turnovers and shut the Griffins down when it mattered in crunch time, grabbing their fourth straight win.
Big game on defense, for sure, both games over the past weekend, and it was great to see them grab a couple wins. Biggest weaknesses, still scoring depth in that three-point shooting. As well as free throw, they did show a bit of life in those two areas over the past weekend.
I mean, a little bit. They shot 25 for 39 from the free throw line, which isn't great, honestly, but it's an improvement. Certainly, 63% is better than their average season, or season average, rather, of 60%. And obviously that really bad last weekend where they didn't shoot above 50% from the line. But their defense is keeping them in it. They have the fifth best defense in Canada West. They're only allowing 65 points a game. If they can keep that up, they'll have a decent shot in the playoffs.
And I think limiting the McEwen Griffins to 5 points in the first quarter, yeah, and then 6 in the third in that first game. That's crazy defense out of a team who I think some of the other Canada West teams may underestimate.
Yeah, and we can also see good player coming out from that game. Like Pierce led by far her best weekend of the season, scoring a combined 17 points after scoring a combined 19 points the entire season. Leading up to those games, she's still a first-year player, but any scoring help would be gladly welcome by this game, which still struggles to score kind of a little bit.
We did have a chance to catch up with Dana Pierce after her breakout weekend performance. Let's listen in to what she said.
Victory tonight, but you've now won 4 straight to start the new year. What's been the key for this turnaround?
Well, we had we worked really hard in December to get better from the first half of the season, and we went to Cuba, which was a really good, you know, getaway for us to improve our game. And I think, you know, last weekend we definitely showed it, and last night and tonight we had it was a rough game, but we still came through with the win, which is good. It shows our hard work from December.
You guys had some struggles offensively tonight, but found a way to get enough buckets late to win this one. To what do you credit that offensive and mental toughness in the clutch?
I think that we all wanted to win, and we had to just bring our best game as we could, even with the, you know, the tight score. So, I don't know, I think our shots were falling good for us at one point. So, yeah, it was just good for us.
With only 4 games left in the regular season, you guys are right in the playoff mix but haven't quite clinched a spot yet. How will you make sure you keep your momentum going these last 2 weeks to make sure you continue playing into the postseason?
I think we'll definitely use, you know, this game tonight to, you know, tell ourselves that we are better than how we played tonight, and, you know, push ourselves to complete the next 4 games and come through with the win. I think the courtside game is going to be a good motivator for us, as there will be a lot of fans here supporting us, so yeah.
Okay, thank you. Congratulations again.
That was Dana Pierce's first year for the UBC women's basketball team.
So moving on to the men's side now, they bounced back after their overtime loss to Lethbridge a couple weeks ago, sweeping the Griffins to improve their record to 13-3. They won comfortably in the first match on Friday, final score 96-72. McEwen actually had a 1-point lead after the first in this one, but UBC outscored them 27-10 in the second. Never look back. Luka Zaharievic was unstoppable as he put in his best performance of the season, recording 22 points on 10 of 16 shooting to go along with 11 rebounds, both of which are season highs. Connor Morgan had a somewhat subdued night, only taking 9 shots, but still managed to put up 20 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists in a solid all-around performance. Taylor Brown dropped 4 three-pointers en route to a 14-point night, and Mason Bourse also had his best performance of the season, as he recorded 13 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 0 turnovers.
I love how a subdued night for Connor Morgan is 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. For anyone else around the league, that's standout, if not season record performance.
Yeah, only 9 shots, still get 20 points. He just always finds a way to score a bunch, no matter what happens. And on Saturday, Thunderbirds continue to roll, using a dominant third quarter to sweep the Griffins. Again, it was close early on. UBC was only up 1 after the first and only up 6 at halftime, but they outscored the Griffins 32-19 in the third quarter to take this one. Connor Morgan led the way, 19.6 rebounds, while Taylor Brown scored 16 points on 6 of 11 shooting, hitting 4 threes in back-to-back games. Phil Jalalpour and Grant Shepard each scored 13, with Jalalpour adding 8 rebounds and Shepard pulling down 6. And this was a much-needed performance from Shepard, who scored in double figures for the first time in 8 games. The Thunderbirds as a whole really played a clean game in this one. Turnovers has been a weakness for them this year, but they did a very good job of limiting that, committing a season-low 8 in this one.
The Thunderbirds men's basketball team now won 11 of their last 12, and not too many glaring concerns. Phil Jalalpour, this new year hasn't been the best for him. He struggled a bit, only shooting 39% so far in January, just below average for most of the league, but for him, it's quite a bit under. And behind the arc, he's 2-for-24.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but like you said, they've won 11 of their last 12. They don't want to be too, you know, hard on them. He's contributing in other ways. He's got 6.5 rebounds a game, 3 assists a game during this, you know, cold stretch for Jalalpour. But yeah, ideally they would want him to find his scoring touch in the playoffs, which the Thunderbirds have clinched their spot, so congratulations to them. They're assured a top 4 seed and a bye to the Canada West quarterfinals.
They still are holding that number 1 offense spot in the country, and it will probably not be likely that they will get that number 1 spot, though, for the Canada West. Above them are the Golden Bears, who are 15-1, and they have this huge defensive like powerhouse of a team, and it'll be a big clash up between them and UBC if they end up facing each other in the playoffs.
Yeah, should be very exciting if that happens. And just a quick side note, looking ahead to this summer, Basketball BC has announced that Kevin Hansen, Thunderbirds coach, will be coaching the BC U17 provincial team at this summer's national championships. So congratulations to him, and best of luck to him and the BC squad this summer.
With 30 points over the past weekend, Taylor Brown put up quite the performance, clutch shooting, especially from beyond the arc, and he's been a nice addition to this UBC Thunderbird offense. Here's what Brown had to say about his personal and team performance over the past weekend.
So you've now won 11 of your last 12, firmly entrenched as one of the top teams in the conference. What's been the key for you guys during this very strong run?
Just make sure we stay engaged, staying focused, and making sure we know what our goal is, right, to get to the Canada West Championships. So we're always thinking about that and going down the stretch. You know, we had a couple losses early, but, you know, we're peaking right now, and I feel like it's a great time to peak because it's near the end. So,
yeah. You had a very strong weekend, hitting 4 threes both yesterday and tonight. How have you felt about your own performance both this weekend and this season so far?
I think it's about time. You know, I mean, I've been, struggling a little bit early on, but I think I maturing at the right time, and I peaked at the right time, and I feel like it can only get better from here, so I'm glad it's coming right now. So.
And with the playoffs just a few weeks away, it might be easy to start looking ahead to the postseason already. How will you try and make sure you keep your foot in the gas and not lose your momentum in these last few games of the regular season?
Well, you know what? A lot of us has been here before, right? We've been in my first year, we've been in Nationals. We still have those guys with us that's been there. So we know what it is. We just got to make sure we keep grinding and we get the young guys engaged, and we're going to make it there, and we just got to focus.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the win.
That was Taylor Brown of the men's basketball team.
Yeah, looking at the hockey, the Winter Classic was this last Friday. It was an excellent game. You know, huge turnout. First ever sellout for UBC men's hockey in the new building.
It came close last year,
but this was the first ever total sellout. 5,500 plus fans in attendance for this game, which was a huge game. It was an important game because there's a potential playoff spot on the line there between Lethbridge and UBC. So it was going to be tight. It was going to be, you know, hotly contested. UBC got the scoring underway in the Winter Classic with a goal from leading scorer Austin Vetterl, which got the crowd rocking. And then just before the end of the first, Brooks Maxwell tied the game on a deflection by a shot from his cousin, Mitchell Maxwell, whose shot was set up by Mitch's brother, Russell Maxwell.
The Maxwell trio.
Nephews, actually, of retired NHLer Brian Maxwell, who actually grew up in Lethbridge. So cool to see his nephews playing for University of Lethbridge now. That Maxwell family tradition goal would be the only one scored by allowed by Matt Hewitt and the UBC defense. Less than a minute into the final frame, Tyler Sandu scored a little bit of a wild one. He ripped a shot that bounced wide off the end boards, but into the back of Lethbridge goalie Garrett Hewson and into the net. That stroke of luck would prove to be the game winner, but not with an absolutely insane toe save from Matt Hewitt.
And that's what we heard a little bit of earlier.
No, actually, that's because he's made a couple of those saves this weekend. That was actually one of the from the Saturday game.
I think he needs to be on SportsCenter. Yeah. Honestly, let's get
Matthew.
He's
been amazing. What a season, and he's always been great. Like, he's been with this team for a bunch of years now, but like, he's been excellent for UBC. Definitely one of the key pieces to their team's success for sure. The Thunderbirds sort of needed a wave to ride. The gift of an extra 4 points over the break sort of launched them into a playoff spot. And that was sort of the beginning. But I think this Winter Classic and this, you know, the energy that was in the building might sort of propel them towards maybe a better finish to the season and maybe success in the playoffs as well.
I think it felt like an NHL game in there just because of the amount of fans in the crowd. And that probably, like you said, gave them a big win, which we kind of saw Saturday a bit of. They moved a bit backwards in certain categories.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had a strong start on Saturday, but it was sort of all pronghorns in the after the like the first few minutes of the first period were pretty strong, but then after that it was just all Lethbridge. Brandon Close went high glove side on Hewitt to give the Thunderbirds the lead in the last few minutes of the opening frame. In the second period, Hewitt made a few more spectacular saves. He had about like 8 or 10 like highlight reel saves, not just regular saves.
I'm telling you, SportsCenter, watch out.
Yeah.
Hewitt's coming.
Matt Revel took advantage of a 2-on-1 with Carter Popoff to tie the game before Mitchell Maxwell, back at it again, netting a second point of the game after a nice move in front of the crease. Chase Clayton exhibited excellent forechecking skills with a few minutes remaining in the second, beautiful wraparound. A badly timed penalty allowed the Pronghorns to take their third lead of the game a few minutes into the third, and it seemed like that would be the decider. But with just 32 seconds remaining in regulation, Matt Revel again, his second of the night, to send it to overtime. In overtime, again, Matt Hewitt saved the game with a huge glove save, which was the audio we heard earlier. He was down on his back. He sort of just threw his hand up into the air, hoping that it would hit the puck, and it sort of knocked it away. It was an amazing save. definitely a save of the year candidate. It allowed Nick Buonasisi to go back the other way and score the winner in double overtime to lift the Thunderbirds over the Pronghorns and sweep the season series.
So in summary, it seems like we're going to have a Matt Hewitt statue around UBC campus sometime soon.
Of course.
But yeah, crazy weekend for Hewitt and four-game win streak for this men's hockey team. They've won five of their last six, and their two games, their two wins this past weekend put them up to fourth place, and they're just 1 point behind Manitoba now for third. Where before 2018,
we were questioning whether they make the playoffs. They were done. I didn't think they would make the playoffs at all.
Hey, an accident with a. Not an accident, but a mix-up with the Calgary Dinos really screwed him over and pushed UBC and gave him a momentum boost, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like they were dead in the water, but the Calgary situation plus a renewed defensive intensity has really propelled them so far. But that said, they did have a bit of a lapse on Saturday. After only allowing 27 shots of the Winter Classic, they allowed 47 on Saturday, their second highest of the season. But thankfully, Matt Hewitt, an unrested Matt Hewitt, was there to bail them out. He only allowed three goals, got them to overtime, where they managed to scrape out the win. But hopefully, that's just a blip, and what we'll see going forward is what we've seen over the last like five or six games before that.
I think they're back to this is what I thought the team was going to be at the beginning of the season, and I think they're sort of back to it now. The Thunderbirds are in fourth place. They have a 10-point lead on the team that is the first place team or the first team outside looking in, which is University of Calgary. So they haven't officially clinched, but honestly, the Calgary Dinos are not going to make up a 10-point lead this late in the season, so they're pretty much clinched.
And for this T-Bird team, Revel's been great as of late, most importantly in the clutch. And Buonasisi, he's found a bit of a goal-scoring touch as of late when he's usually someone to be the setup man.
Yeah, usually a playmaker, but getting some goal scoring in as of late. The Thunderbirds will host Saskatchewan this weekend. They're both tied for the longest active win streak in Canada West at four games. On Friday night, only one will remain. The Thunderbird women's team has also been on a roll as of late. They took a trip to Lethbridge this week. They were top of the conference and had won four straight, and they look to make it six straight this weekend against the last place team in Canada West. But it wasn't really the cakewalk they expected. UBC jumped out to an early lead with an Ireland Pirate goal, which was the only marker of period one, before Lethbridge answered back with two in the second from Mackenzie Gow and Kyra Grieg. Top scorer Hannah Clayton Carroll added a goal to send the game to overtime, which resolved nothing, and Matea Fisher scored the only goal in the shootout to win the game. Sunday's game saw a return to the solid, defensive, clinical play we've gotten used to from UBC women's hockey. Cassandra Vilgrain, the hero of last weekend, scored the lone goal in an otherwise uneventful first. Lethbridge first year, Ali Boro, did the same for the Pronghorns in the second. Both UBC goaltender Amelia Bone and ULeth netminder Alicia Anderson played lights-out hockey, and it seemed like UBC was headed for another overtime. But a goal from stay-at-home defensive-minded defender Alexa Ranahan with two minutes to go won the game for UBC. It was her first of the year, just her seventh of her university career. She's had a really interesting career, but we don't get to talk about stay-at-home defensemen that much. She used to play for Ohio State. She captained Ohio State, and she actually won gold with Team Canada at the 2013 Under-18 World Championships. She added a Canada West gold to her career last season and will be hunting for another one this spring. She's a great story and a huge underrated part of this team.
Similar to the men's team, Matea Fisher pulling a bit of a Buonasisi, or I guess the other way around, where both of them usually playmakers but have been scoring in the past few weeks.
Yeah, one issue possibly we've seen with this team is that they've struggled to beat the opposition that's hovering around the bottom of the standings while really getting up and putting in great performances against some of the best teams in the conference. It's a little bit concerning that they haven't been able to get themselves fully motivated, fully going against lower tier opposition, but that said, they managed to get both wins and you'd hope they'd be playing at their highest level in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Penalties still an issue, not as bad as last week, but they still took nine penalties over the two games. But, I mean, that's been an issue all season, and they've been doing excellent, so maybe they shouldn't change anything. Maybe they should just keep working with what works. And, I mean, Saturday's game was an excellent defensive performance, as we've seen. Friday, they actually weren't that great defensively, which is kind of rare. They allowed lots of screens, lots of high-danger shots, but they tightened up on Saturday, and that's sort of what we've been used to seeing from them.
25 shots. That's great. Keep the defense right there.
Yeah, definitely. We are going to take a quick break for ads, and we will be right back.
This is my shimmering life prize. All I must do is create a diversion. What could distract people who love sports? Sports! 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 Sports!
Do you find sports distracting? feel the need to chant sports for hours on end? Then come on by the CITR station at the new sub to get involved. We do play-by-play, color commentary, audio production, interviews, and so much more. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
We got a theory.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Hello and welcome back. Listen to Thunderbird Eye, Liz, and want to tell us a little bit about this new Hall of Fame class for UBC.
Yeah, last week, the UBC Thunderbirds Department of Athletes announced the 2018 class of inductees to the UBC Sports Hall of Fame. Started in 1993, the Hall of Fame has embraced many athletes, coaches, and people involved in organizing athlete programs to commemorate their contribution to the community and university. So this year, there are four inductees nominated. Two of them are associated with the Women's Field Hockey Program, Jim Forrest, who is a member and a supporter of the program, and Harsh Kanji, who was the head coach of the team from 1992 to 2014. The other two are Dale Oldman, a former UBC athlete and head coach of the men's volleyball program from 1971 to 1973, and Michael Mikey McDowell from the ice hockey team. The inductees will attend the 2018 Big Block Awards and Hall of Fame dinner on Wednesday, April 4th to receive their honor.
Gene Forrest, all-star field hockey player for UBC back in the 80s, and not only did she lead that 1982-83 team to the national championship, but she was also named onto the All-Canadian team that year. And in total, she was on the national team for 3 years during her career.
Yeah, and the women's field hockey coach, Harsh Kanji, who coached women's field hockey here at the school for 21 years. UBC sort of has a tendency to long tenures for coaches.
And that field hockey team, that women's field hockey team, it's like a dynasty
for
the last 50 years.
They've been so amazing for so long. I mean, you look back, in his 21-year career, the women's field hockey team won 14 Canada West Championships and 10 national championships.
Talk about Canadian dominance in
a
sport.
Yeah, of course. And they're still amazing to this day, obviously not with Harsh Kanji anymore, but still being amazing. He's been named U Sports Coach of the Year 3 times. He had a really excellent career for this team.
Yeah, and speaking of the long coaching tenures, Dale Oldman coached the UBC men's volleyball team for 25 years, and before that, he was one of the players who made history for the UBC volleyball team as part of the 1966-1967 team, which won the Canada West title, went on to become the first volleyball team to win the CIAU, now U Sports, national championship, and they also traveled to Tokyo to represent Canada at the 1967 World Student Games, rich legacy for him as well. Yeah.
And lastly, McDowell played on the UBC 62-63 hockey team. They won UBC's first Canada West title in men's ice hockey history. And as well, he represented for Canada in the Olympic Games back in 64.
Wow.
And lastly, this week we saw a women's rugby 7 tournament where they traveled to the University of Alberta to take part in the annual Canada West rugby tournament. During Saturday, on the first day of play, Thunderbirds and the Victoria Vikes took control with three wins apiece during the tournament. The Saturday sweep was critical for the Birds, whose mediocre season record of 5-7 seemed to be overcome during the beginning of tournament play, and highlighting the promise of this UBC Women's Rugby Sevens program. Starting off Sunday, the Birds and Vikes went head-to-head, and it was tied 7-7. However, the Vikes put up one more try before half and two more afterwards, and UBC simply couldn't keep up. After getting beat 29-12 against the Lethbridge Longhorns in the following game, Birds were slated to take on Calgary for the third-place game. Bronze medal game against Calgary looked to be in UBC's favor until the final seconds, Brianne Morgan of the Dinos put down a final try, and the convert by Berlin Selzja put the nail in the coffin. Unfortunately, no hardware for the T-Birds after an incredible Saturday performance. They will look to bounce back from the tournament in their game against the Fraser Valley Cascades on the 10th and 11th of February.
Yeah, very tough to go out like that at a very strong Saturday, but hopefully they'll be able to get back on track against Fraser Valley, who they did beat early in this year, 22-12. Hopefully get back on track then.
Yeah. Looking ahead, we actually don't have any volleyball to bring you this week because volleyball has their bye week right now. But what we do have is women's ice hockey visiting Saskatchewan, women's basketball visiting UBCO, women's volleyball at, or rather hosting Brandon, and the same games in the men's respects for those sports as well. There's a track meet on Saturday at the University of Washington. men's field hockey and men's rugby on Saturday as well as the second half of both of the series, or all three of the series mentioned on Friday. Looking ahead at the power rankings in U Sports, men's swimming, women's swimming, still dominant, still first place in the entire country. Women's volleyball, still dominant, as well as men's, first and second, respectively. And men's basketball hovering around the sort of six area, still a force to be reckoned with, for sure.
It will be interesting to see how our sports do in the upcoming week. Volleyball back on tap, and as well basketball. In a couple weeks from now, we'll be back with CITR on air, and we'll have a live game for you guys. But for now, thank you all so much for tuning in to CITR 101.9. The upcoming show will be Shoes on a Wire, which is back on air and still hosted by the lovely Madeline Taylor. For Thunderbird Eye, this has been Jacob, Eric, Jake, and Liz. Tune in next Thursday from 3:30 to 4, and have a great rest of your day.